Today, my guest is Tony Wrighton, best-selling author, sports presenter, TV broadcaster, NLP coach, and biohacker. In this show, Tony explains the effects of histamine intolerance.
For me, it was very gut-related, and it started in the gut, but everything, I felt like I was sort of operating under a fog of just tiredness and fatigue and just feeling awful. It would really affect my mood. I'd feel very depressed.
His game-changing supplements.
So these things are incredible. They're very expensive, but you open the tub, and normally when you smell cod liver oil, it smells of fish, right? This stuff smells sweet. It's very expensive, and it gets to work on inflammation very, very quickly.
The power of NLP.
From a personal and professional perspective, I noticed the benefits almost straight away. I was a radio presenter at the time when I started learning NLP, and I wasn't very good, but I thought, you know what, I've got the perfect training ground to practice all these techniques. So I started using some of the linguistic techniques on my radio show.
Before we get into some exciting stuff in the biohacking, energy, vitality, NLP field, can you give me a bit of your background and how you got to where you've got to today?
Yeah, I've been a radio and TV presenter for the last 20 years, and I've worked at Sky. I've worked on a lot of the sort of bigger radio stations, especially around the north of England. But always on the side, I had a sort of other career going on. And I think all my colleagues at Sky thought I was the weird self-help guy doing all this sort of neuro-linguistic NLP stuff in the background. But what was quite satisfying is that over time, I went from being the weird self-help guy to the guy that they actually sought out for a bit of advice, or, what do you think about this, mate? So it's been interesting to see how attitudes to general wellness and then personal development have softened over the years, and especially being in a very red-blooded male sporting environment, and then seeing how there's such a respect for things like sports psychologists now that really it wasn't sort of that out of the ordinary to be into all of this sort of stuff. So yeah, I always had the separate career going on, wrote books, audiobooks, podcasts, and then a couple of years ago I left Sky to focus on this full time, and that's been great. Actually, it's almost like the shackles are off and I'm now able to do what I love all the time, which is weird biohacking, neuro-linguistic programming, and taking plenty of time to do stuff for myself as well.
Well, there's a lot to unpack there, but firstly, just on, let's get back to the biohacking. How did you get into that?
Yeah, I've always been a little bit obsessive around health. Are you as well?
Just a little bit. Yeah, I would say I've certainly dedicated most of my life to some sort of health obsession or another.
Really?
I get a little bit like you. I gave up my corporate career a few years ago now, and I do dedicate a lot of my time to health, fitness, nutrition. Mind is extraordinarily important, but yes.
Yeah. And it's sort of, one of the things that I've learned more than any other in the book. So biohacking is really just optimizing health, body, and mind, isn't it? I mean, that's probably a good way of describing it. And I like a definition of saying, look, you know, it's basically about getting back to nature. And when nature isn't available, using hacks, tips, and tricks, and potentially sort of technology to help you mimic nature. So things like, for example, infrared light is great, but probably not quite as good as sitting outside in the sunshine. But I know you're about a mile down the road from where I am right now, and I'm looking out the window, and it's a pretty grim afternoon. There's not much sunlight out there, so maybe red light will have to do.
I think there's a lot of mysticism as well about around biohacking, and possibly a little bit cultish as well. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, I love it, but I think it has. I'm not sure how mass marketed it is, and like you rightfully said, it's actually applying, I think, all those things in a natural way. And I know you've written a few books around it as well, which is really interesting. What spurred you on to sort of write those books?
Well, I've written books more on mindset, and I have a small publishing company, and we have written books on biohacking as well. Or we've published books on biohacking, and they haven't done that well because of what exactly of what you said. I'm not sure that it's particularly sort of mass market, which is fine. I don't. I'm a fairly niche individual. I'm quite happy to continue being quite niche, but I quite like combining mindset, focusing on what we think and how that affects what's going on in our body and our mind, with a little bit of sort of health hacking as well.
And and to that, you've also got a podcast, Zestology.
Yeah.
You focus in on, I was just listening to it, on energy and vitality, which I think are two words that really sum, if you get biohacking right, that's really what it's giving you. You know, you could add in the longevity piece and the health piece, but what everybody wants is to feel good, right? Look good, yeah. Feel good, have energy and zest for life. You've interviewed some amazing, renowned people out there. The God of Gods, Dave Asprey, who is the biggest biohacker out there. I think you might be the founders. Wim Hof, who doesn't need much explanation. Ben Greenfield. What is the biggest thing you've learned from interviewing those guys?
The first point is something that I didn't quite finish a few minutes ago, which is not to be too obsessive about it, because I think this world can attract quite obsessive people. And the idea is that we don't obsess over every ingredient in every dish, because actually you're better off having a bit of chocolate and then not worrying about it. I certainly feel that's the case for me, that I've become less obsessive, more relaxed over the years. My diet is not as on point as it was 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm definitely healthier, you know, because I'm just more relaxed. So I think that's really important, don't you?
I absolutely, having been a bodybuilder and competed a few years ago, you become very obsessed. I mean, to get to that stage, you literally become constantly thinking about what you're putting in your mouth.
And right.
You take a step back afterwards, you're like, wow. I actually didn't have a life.
Right.
Because I was only ever thinking about what I was putting into my mouth, to the stage of I was watching Come Dine With Me or food programs, because it just became an obsession.
Yeah.
So I think absolutely you're right. And you know, I can be quite obsessive with exercise. And funnily enough, I've just done my age testing.
Oh yeah. Is it Omnos or
Glycanage?
Oh, Glycanage, great. Yeah. Glycanage. What did it say?
Well, I'm only a couple of years younger, and you see I thought I would be a lot younger than my actual chronological age. And it turns out that all of this obsession over exercise might not be so good for you after all, particularly menopausal women, where we need to sort of take life a little bit slowly, you know, think about rest and relaxation. And obviously I don't mean sitting on the sofa doing nothing, but it could mean going for a nice walk in nature.
Yeah.
So I think definitely my views are really starting to change. But then it's that mind piece, isn't it?
Yeah. So do you think that, have you seen the documentary Arnold, by the way, on Netflix?
Yes, love it.
Yeah, me too. We just watched the first one. Obviously, the reason I'm asking is the whole thing's about bodybuilding, isn't it?
Yeah.
So fascinating seeing all that archive footage from the 70s and how he made it to the top. I mean, he was just so single-minded, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of sort of determination and willpower that I think goes into the sort of the bodybuilding mindset.
Yeah.
Because you become obsessed, and you can sort of apply it, or I applied it to lots of areas in my life, work, business, investment. But I think it does come back again to not becoming too obsessed with things.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was interesting in that documentary, he said he was never that obsessive about what he ate. He sort of cleaned up his diet a bit, but he was munching on hamburgers and stuff as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, let's talk a bit about diet, because there was one thing that I understood how you got into where you got today is your histamine intolerance. And it was I listened to you at the Health Optimization Summit, and I'd never heard of histamine intolerance before.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit around that and what it means?
Yeah, so I guess part of the reason I am a little bit health obsessive is that I've always felt that I'm never quite as healthy. I've never been quite as healthy as a lot of my friends and peers. I always had fairly unexplained symptoms that would rear up out of nowhere and then die down again, but would leave me feeling flawed for a couple of days. I could never tolerate alcohol in the same way that my friends could. Out of nowhere, I would get a bad belly. And as I got older, I decided to really focus on this and start to clean up my diet. And I ate all these sort of things which I felt were good for me, like spinach, avocados, smoothies with banana in it or whatever it was. And little did I know that these were all actually making me worse, because histamine intolerance is a thing that up to 15% of people suffer from. It's when your body creates too much histamine. And one of the things that can really spike your histamine intolerance is eating high histamine foods. So, foods like banana, spinach, avocados,
They're
chocolate,
all high histamine food.
red wine is the highest histamine thing in the world.
Oh.
Yeah. So, it's a difficult one because it's not particularly compatible with what I was talking to you earlier about, which is basically trying to relax around food. I had to get quite tight on the right eating the right foods to calm my histamine levels down. But now I've done that. It's been amazing. I'm like healthier than I've ever been. It's just brilliant, you know.
What sort of symptoms did you have? What was it giving you that this histamine intolerance?
For me, it was very gut related, and it started in the gut, but everything, I felt like I was sort of operating under a fog of just tiredness and fatigue and just feeling awful. It would really affect my mood. I'd feel very depressed and an anxious, actually. I don't, when you feel very anxious, and that's the sort of a feeling that comes from the gut. And that was what I used to get all the time. And for a lot of people, histamine intolerance manifests in different ways. A lot of people get bad migraines and headaches or skin problems or hives or whatever it might be. For me, it was mainly gut related.
And of course, we now know there's a huge relationship between the gut microbiome and the brain. We're all connected, so that could be the effect that it had on your moods. You know, when our gut's out of balance, it actually affects our mood rather than the other way around. It's funny, we've always thought it's like something's going on, then my guts, but it's the other way around.
And it's incredible how I mean, I'm a real geek and I track loads of elements of my sort of health and wellness every evening. It only takes about 30 seconds to write it all down.
What sort of things do you
Oh,
track?
I track like energy, inflammation, gut health. But then I track things like, did I work out that day? Did I meditate? What supplements did I take? Especially if I'm trying new supplements, I'll track it to see if it's actually worth taking or not. So I'm taking an amazing supplement at the moment. And do you know what? The Health Optimization Summit, I mentioned it to so many people, nobody had heard of it. I can't, it is such a game changer. I can't believe it. And it's made a massive difference to me.
You're gonna have to tell me now. I'm like now super wondering if I know about it. Go on.
Well, have you heard of specialized pro-resolving mediators?
No.
SPMs for short. Basically, this is what omega-3s turn into in the body. And the reason I went down this rabbit hole is because most omega-3s are made with fish oil, sort of krill oil or cod liver or algae, all of which very high histamine. And a lot of people in my world really react to that stuff. So omega-3s, a scientist a few years ago found out that you can sort of distill cod liver oil or omega-3s into what the body turns it into, which is specialized pro-resolving mediators. So these things are incredible. They're very expensive, but you open the tub, and normally when you smell cod liver oil, it smells of fish, right? This stuff smells sweet. It's very expensive, and it gets to work on inflammation very, very quickly. So I started taking these, and I was sort of thinking, oh, maybe it'll make my joints a little bit less achy. But what it's actually done is it's made my stomach just so calm and relaxed. I mean, I'm doing pretty well anyway with the histamine stuff, but it's a whole new level now. I feel like I can eat anything, and I haven't felt like that for so long. So this stuff is great. I mean, if you want to drop 100 pounds very quickly,
Oh my
then
God.
buy a bottle of SPMs.
SPF and any particular, you don't have to recommend any brands, or maybe we can talk afterwards about.
Yeah, no, I used SPM Supreme just because that was one you could find in the UK,
Okay.
but Anyone listening in America, I think there's one called SPM Active, which is a particularly good one. And you know, a lot of the experts that I follow in the histamine world recommend these over conventional omega-3s because they're so much more bioavailable.
So, and what about for so somebody like me? I actually eat so much fish that when I go to the doctors, they're like, "We've never seen someone with so much high HDL, the good stuff."
Great.
So I've got super high levels of that.
Yeah.
So I actually don't take any omegas.
Yeah.
Don't need to, but I don't know whether, because we're all different, right?
We're all different. Yeah. I mean, if you've got anything you're working on, it might be interesting. You might just not need it because you eat lots of fish and you've got a great diet. But I think it's something, you know, it's like the difference between MCT oil and coconut oil. It's just way more bioavailable. It's fractionated, which so it just hits you straight away. And the distillation process, I believe, is quite similar between coconut oil and MCT oil and omega-3s and SPMs.
Are there any other sort of, if we're talking supplements, going
yeah.
down that route, what are your sort of top three? We've mentioned that those already.
Yeah, I think sort of methylation. I love good methylation supplements. I find them very helpful. But then also, you know, if you're having a flare up, a real simple binder, like, and this is not just for histamine intolerance, but anyone who has gut issues, like activated charcoal, or I use one called Biotoxin Binder, which uses humic acid and fulvic acid. I don't know if you've heard of that, but that's great as well.
No, and this is for when you say you get flare-ups, so when you get like dodgy stomachs or your stomach's not feeling good.
Mainly, yeah, yeah, yeah. What about you? What have you got to recommend me?
So I'm literally, so I was taking NMN, last year, sort of ever since I heard David Sinclair, and more recently I've started taking Nichido, their NAD plus, literally again since the conference. So I'm just doing a bit of a test on that, so it's only been what, 2 months, I think, not even 2 months.
Fantastic.
I'm
chatting to Nicola from NMN in about 2 hours time.
Yeah. From NAD Plus.
From NAD Plus, yeah.
Well, I talked to her last week and fantastic. Geordie girl, say hello.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So both from Newcastle. So, yeah, so yeah. I'm testing that. I'm trying that at the moment. But no, other than that, just things like magnesium. I'm a big believer in magnesium's great. And I think everyone should sort of tailor what they take. I mean, I take MSM, I love MSM. Because I'm hitting the gym in terms of bodybuilding, have a lot of protein as well, so I'm taking some form of whey isolate as well.
So can I ask you something about that? Because I am a classic ectomorph, and I go to the gym and I work out quite hard, and I'm putting on a tiny bit of weight at the moment, but it's a hell of a slog. What can I do to just put on a bit of muscle?
You know, well, I am as well. I'm honestly an ectomorph, and I found it incredibly difficult for my competitions. And my coach at the time was like, yeah, you're just going to have to eat loads and do no cardio. So I don't do any. I used to be a runner. I used to like literally marathon run 10Ks every day. I've just stopped all cardio. If I do cardio, it just drops off me.
Wow.
So I lift weights five times a week, which I probably should go to four because I'm probably overtraining. And I just have a lot of protein.
Yeah.
I try to do 1 pound per, sorry, 1 gram per pound of lean body mass, or two grams per kilogram.
Okay, 2 grams per kilogram. So sort of what, 30 grams of protein a day?
No. So let's say I weigh for arguments, they're about 50 kilos.
Right.
Then I'd be having 50 grams, 100 grams.
100 grams. Oh, wow.
I actually have I'm on about 110 grams of protein a day.
Right. I need to up my protein game then.
I'm small. I'm like 5'4".
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, possibly you're not eating enough protein. I'm not sure.
Yeah. What do you think of this clean, lean protein? Me and my wife absolutely love. It's only got three ingredients, but the main ingredient is pea protein. And the reason I like it is I find it quite easy to digest. But I guess you might think it's not quite as available bioavailable as some proteins?
I tried pea protein a while ago and it just didn't, again, I couldn't stand the taste, to
Oh,
be
right. Okay.
totally honest.
Yeah.
And funnily enough, I'm talking to a plant-based nutritionist a bit later as well. And I guess we've all got our views around it, but I think it's whatever you can tolerate and you can stomach and you
Yeah.
enjoy. Because if you don't enjoy something, you're not going to stick to it either.
Yeah.
So, I actually love mixing mine in yogurts or things like that. Again, that might not be great for your histamine diet. So, I'm not.
Yeah. Oh, well, certain, funny you say that. Certain yogurts are fine. Almond yogurts, coconut yogurts, fine. But
Yeah, I guess it's just about finding
absolutely.
that sweet spot that works for you,
Yeah.
definitely.
Yeah.
So on Tony, going back to we sort of sidetracked. We talked about histamine for a bit, but I'd love to get back to your mindset and NLP. How has that helped you on this whole journey?
From a personal and professional perspective, I noticed the benefits almost straight away. I was a radio presenter at the time when I started learning NLP, and I mean, I wasn't very good, but I thought, you know what? I've got the perfect training ground to practice all these techniques. So I started using some of the linguistic techniques on my radio show with the aim of getting people to listen to my show for longer and attracting new listeners and getting them to feel better about the show. And then a couple of months in, my boss called me into his office, and it was a day when I'd layered on the techniques quite a lot, and I thought I'd been a bit too obvious.
Give me a couple of techniques, just for
Yeah, I
example.
mean, I was using sensory language, so I was trying to tell stories with a lot of visual and auditory and kinesthetic language, and I was using some of the sort of persuasive techniques to sort of get people to feel good about what I was talking about. And you know, I mean, it was a sort of a fairly mainstream, middle of the road radio station in Manchester. My job was there to sort of make people feel a little bit better about their day. And the boss called me into his office and he said, "I don't know what you've done, Tony, but your listening figures have gone through the roof."
Wow.
And I'd overtaken the breakfast show. I was on drive time and I'd overtaken the breakfast show just by using these techniques. So that was the first indication that actually this is going to be very helpful professionally, as well as helping me with goal setting and anxiety and relaxing and stopping worrying so much and all the rest of it as well.
Wow. No, and I think you can apply it across several different things. I've done a little bit of NLP in my own coaching course as well, and I've spoken to a lot of people that are practitioners, and yeah, they can change the way you do everything. And that goes for relationships, business, sales, and just the way we think and perceive things, I think, as well, and relate to people.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than a bad NLP-er though. You know, there's some people out there who don't appear a bit obvious about using the techniques.
So I guess my first experience of NLP was Tony Robbins.
Oh yeah,
So
great. Yeah.
I went back in the day, I went to my first Tony Robbins and I could feel that something was happening and I was like, okay, this is like group hypnotism. What? And I felt very uncomfortable with it, funnily enough, and
Did you? Yeah, did you?
I left after the first sort of couple of hours. Probably firstly, because I wasn't quite expecting, and if anyone doesn't know Tony Robbins events, they're like a rock concert on steroids and like 7,000 people in a room jumping up and down. Don't get me wrong, it was a life-changing event and it was absolutely amazing. He's just done one in Birmingham, but I think if you're not ready for that
Yeah.
and sort of put you off kilter, and I realized he was doing group hypnotism
Yeah.
and I wasn't quite ready for it. That being said, I went back for the final 2 days and loved it. So I
Did
think
you?
it's
Yeah.
another
Yeah.
thing.
Yeah, it's certainly an adjustment. And even Tony Robbins style, you know, I think over time it almost seems a little old-fashioned now. You know, which I can't believe I'm saying, because he's been at the sort of right at the vanguard of personal development for so long. We were just having a conversation the last couple of days. I'm reading a book by Ram Dass at the moment, and we were
Oh,
talking about,
lovely,
yeah,
lovely.
and we were talking about gurus, you know,
We'll have to compare
and
books. We'll have to compare books,
yeah,
definitely.
the Ram Dass story is absolutely amazing, and I've got a lot of issues with it, which me and my wife are chatting about in great detail on a nightly basis at the moment. But it's a fascinating book. And the theme of gurus runs strongly throughout. And I think, you know, in this day and age, I think the reason why being guru-like works less than ever before is you can't get away with it. We've all got information at our fingertips. We can all tell if there's any aspect of your story that isn't completely coherent and authentic. And I think Tony Robbins is, I do find him authentic, but there is an element of sort of guru-ness about what he does, isn't there?
There is, and I was very immersed actually in the personal development world, and actually used to be the leader of the sort of Tony Robbins spin-off community.
Did you?
Yeah, and I put speakers on stage and
wow.
MC'd the events, and I actually saw a few things that that made me realize not everyone walks the walk. And I think that's what I sort of think about in my life, you know, and I'll bring it back to the health and fitness thing and the journey. And you know, I'm very much a practice what you preach. If you're going to talk about health and fitness, then try it out on yourself first before you then can advise others if it works for you.
And that ties in with what I was saying about the NLP world. You know, I've met some incredible NLP speakers, and I've met NLP speakers that I just sort of that didn't quite walk the walk in a way that I expected. And eventually I sort of decided, well, that's fine, because actually it's an opening for me to do it differently from other people. But yeah, if you were putting all those speakers on the stage, you would have probably seen the good, bad and the ugly of all the various things that people offer.
No, there were some fascinating moments, that's for sure. Yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure we know a lot of the same people then.
I think, Tony, we're going to have another podcast, because there are so many things. I mean, we didn't even get to talk about your latest book, which I just really quickly want to mention. It's Stop Scrolling.
Yeah.
I found this fascinating because I'm one of these people that spent a lot of time on my emails and getting very uptight and stressed. Have you got any quick hacks, like maybe 3 out of the 30, that you would like to mention would be an easy way for people to get past that scrolling habit?
I would, and I sort of feel like it's the book Stop Scrolling is probably my least, the book that sells the least out of my 30-day expert series. And I think it's because we've all got a problem with scrolling, but we don't necessarily realize that we have, or we don't do anything about it, or we don't want to do anything about it. And I find it so hard, but I know when I switch off from the phone and I stop scrolling for a couple of hours a day, it's always the best part of my day, because all the best things in life, Sonia, don't involve screens. It's very, very true to say.
I mean, even this, Tony, I mean, I love talking to you and I love talking to people, but I find face-to-face
I know
is so much nicer and, you know, friendly and you know, you really can get someone's energy and vibe and,
Of course you can. Yeah, and we're, you know, I mean, that the research around how lonely and isolated people feel is terrifying. And that is because everyone's doing this all day long. And it is simply not the same as human connection, actually living and breathing the same space as someone else. Just not the same, is it? So I got one tip for you. And that is, you can, I mean, I don't know if you've heard about turning your phone grayscale, but one of the things we like to do in the evening is turn our phones red. So that's the way my screen looks at the moment. Don't know if you see that. That's me and my son.
Yeah.
And then if I triple click the home screen, it goes completely red at night.
Oh, wow.
So you'll need to set it up. And it doesn't take long to set up. You just go to the accessibility settings and pick what color you'd like it to be. You can make it black and white if you'd like the screen to be super boring. And trust me, it is very hard to get excited by your phone when it's completely black and white. Or in the evening, it just reduces the glare and it makes you feel more relaxed around your screen and actually less inclined to use it for the stimulating stuff like Instagram last thing at night. The other tip is leave it out of the bedroom, please.
Definitely. I think that's a great note, actually, Tony.
Yeah.
I feel like we could talk forever. I'm very conscious of your time.
Oh, thanks.
What sort of the future hold for you? Any sort of final thoughts on where you're going next? I mean, I'll come on and tell people where to find or would like to find out about you.
Well, from a lifestyle perspective, we spent 4 months as a family in Thailand this year. And you might call it lifestyle design. We thought, well, why not? You know, both of us are fully remote in terms of our work. Our son's quite young and can handle going to different schools. And we loved it. And after 4 months, we had a conversation. We were like, why are we coming home again? But we knew why we were coming home, because it's a long way away and we wanted to see our family and friends. And we're actually moving to Portugal in September.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying something different and we're going for a different life. And my son's going to go to a school in the forest and we're going to be working remotely, and it's going to be fun. So we'll see. So if you want to meet up in Richmond, we're going to have to do it before September.
Listen, we're going to go for it, Tony.
Yeah.
Very quickly, where can people find out more about you? And I will
put
all the links in the show.
That'd be brilliant. Yeah, it's at Tony Wrighton on social media, or tonywrighton.com is the website. There's loads more about NLP on there. I've written an article called WTF is NLP, just in case people want to know a little bit more about what it is.
That sounds great, Tony. And people can check your podcast out, which is fabulous, Zestology, that talks all about vitality and energy. Yeah. Tony, it was great to have you.
Thanks so much. Yeah, lovely to talk to you. And we'll get your mic sorted out next time. And
absolutely. And we'll get going properly. Yeah. Well, look, thank you very much. Thanks, Toby.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning into the show. Please subscribe and share. That would really help me get these valuable messages out.